the Dave Damaschek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Damaschek.
With Tom Brady and otherwise free agency, DDFP begins now.
High the lowest ever won.
Could be. Look at you with your Christmas mug, too.
Yeah, thank
you. I like that money's more up to speed with his holidays. He's still wearing his green.
He slept in his clothes that he wore yesterday. He's doing this in those same clothes.
I like the idea of money just like, hey, it's St. Patrick's Day. I'm putting on a twister. I'm from Chicago. We celebrate St. Right. Patrick's Day. It is a holy day, and I am getting drunk, girls, and
exactly
watching
right.
Dad get whiskey drunk.
I'll share this real quick. One of my favorite St. Patty Day memories, I believe I was in sixth grade at the time, and my buddy Vish, as his nickname was, used to live in Beverly, which is on the south side, is the south side Irish neighborhood of record, probably the most predominant Irish neighborhood in all of Chicago. And they have a legendary St. Patrick's Day parade. And the first one I remember going to, it goes up and down Western Avenue. There's a million bars on this strip. They do a pub crawl where you get a punch card every year, and you got to try to put down like 25 beers or something like that over the course of St. Patty's Day. But I'm like 12. And Vish is like, hey, we're all going to go out to the parade. You guys aren't going to believe this ass. So we go out to the parade route, and these floats are going by that are sponsored by all the bars and the local businesses, you know, M&H Bank, whatever it may be. Every single one of them is throwing out cans of beer. That is what they're tossing from the float. And as 12-year-olds, we collect all of these cans of beer, make it into the gutter. And we run back to his backyard and we start drinking beers. I think we must have had 40 beers for like five of us. And we got absolutely destroyed at the age of 12 at that St. Patrick's Day parade.
Good for you, buddy.
Isn't it? Yeah. That's what I teach my kids, my three girls. Yeah. That's what they get. Those are the lessons they get.
A beautiful memory. What are you doing, spaghetti? What are you drinking there?
Some morning coffee. Trying to get, the
beans. It's a ginger shot. Up. I do kombucha, a ginger shot, and I back it up with some oil.
So we're now spinning here, spaghetti. We've been properly spinning. First question is, and I guess if people are actually listening to this, they can't see what we're doing, so you might have to issue some screenshots if you can do it. I don't know how to make that happen, spaghetti. But why is it just, listen, I'm woke enough to see what's true. Why am I easily the least attractive of this quartet here? Why do I look by far and away?
That's the same in real life, Dave. There's nothing has changed.
I don't think so.
No, I think normally
I'm just looking at this. I'd say I'm like two or three out of this quartet, but I'm clearly bringing up the rear here. I don't get it.
I mean, I don't think anyone who has the coronavirus is feeling at their best or looking their best at the time, Dave. So that you should probably factor that in.
So I'm one of the unfortunate people that is actually displaying symptoms.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah, yeah. You're what they call a carrier at this point.
This is good. This is good. Then let's so the four of us, if we just stay this way 24/7, we can keep an eye on each other, monitor each other's behavior. Yep. Self, you know, that's what we need. Sure. Citizens looking out for other citizens right now, making sure we're all toeing the line here. We'll talk about Tom Brady and all the other action. What have I missed this morning, first of all? Spaghetti, do you have anything? I just saw Jarrell Casey movie.
Yeah, I was going to say Jarrell Casey trade.
Okay, tell us about your sleep, Dave. You've had a long sleep. Apparently you've had a record-breaking sleep.
I did. I have not slept past seven.
Is that right?
In literally, I don't think years. And I just woke up to the buzz of my phone with Eddie Spaghetti texting me. It's 9 a.m. Pacific time. I don't know what happened. That's weird. I think I've taken to this new lifestyle a little too easy.
Yeah. But wait, what about your, I mean, you have basically a large enough family to have an elementary school already. How are you homeschooling? How are you homeschooling all the kids?
That's why I'm pleased to announce this morning that I will
shut down.
Thank you. I'd like to. I'll thank you to refer to me as Professor Dave from here on out. That's right. I just, by the way, was looking up some Tom Brady.
Wait a minute. Now that you just backed away from the camera, I have had an opportunity to get a look at your getup. You are wearing. You live in Los Angeles. You have lived in Los Angeles for what, 20 years now? And you are wearing a Meineke car care bowl that featured the Pitt Panthers and a Pittsburgh Pirates baseball cap.
That's right. As I've told you, as you reminisce about your drunken preteen days on the streets of Chicago, this was a gift. And I do not, just for the record, because I'm a good parent, I will not be imposing my Pirates fandom on the kids. I've made that clear to you before, and I'll say it again now.
They would be Dodger fans.
This would be emotional child abuse to tell my child from 4,000 miles away you have to root for the embarrassing Pirates. The Steelers are the only one. That's the one. And by the way, they're allowed to root. They're allowed to root for the Rams or Chargers and Rams or anyone else they want. They just can't do it under my roof. Go outside and go find your own TV to watch your favorite team.
Right, and in this day and age, that's a hard thing to do. You know,
that's right.
Now you're kicking them out into, you know, they're going to find somewhere else to quarantine.
Right. So hard.
I do, by the way, I was just going to say, I looked up some Tom Brady stuff yesterday, and I was reminded, much like Peyton Manning inexplicably in the twilight of his career, became the sheriff. Did you know Tom Brady was the Pharaoh? Have we discussed this before?
I've heard that's a nickname that someone's bestowed on him, which I find extraordinary because nobody would ever call anyone the Pharaoh.
Well, ever. What do we think? What do we think Let about the him. Buccaneers with their new QB, the Pharaoh?
Well, you know, I think it lined up kind of very similarly to what the Chargers had to offer, right? Very good skill position players that you would say are probably an upgrade over what he had last season. It'll be interesting, you know, system-wise, right? And the old Bruce Arians, you know, you got to risk it for the biscuit kind of downfield approach. I mean, you know it better than I do, Dave. You can speak to it from his time in Pittsburgh with his strong-arm quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, then Carson Palmer. So that'll be interesting. So, you know, I guess I'll start there and saying, you know, I guess it's very similar to what the Chargers had to offer. Shaq Barrett on defense, you know, solid young upcoming players on defense, a tough division, you know, with a juggernaut in the Saints atop that you have to try to topple. And, you know, I can get into it a little later, but that would just be my quick assessment of kind of what I know about how it didn't come together for the Chargers and what, you know, they thought was going to happen versus.
Yeah, it's funny. The life stuff now that is more prominent for all of us. But these days we can relate to a little bit more about being close to family. But it's funny because Willie McGinnis sat with us 2 weeks ago. And by the way, man, Willie McGinnis must be some poker player, man, because he had to have known something about this, and he really did not tip his hand, right, Spaghetti? I mean, I've really pored over those conversations we've had with him in the last couple of months here, and he also teases you. He's also he really must be a master poker player because he did throw enough out there to distract you and everything else, and he did though. You can go back and say, like, Tom's family's very important to him and being close to them on the East Coast is a thing. But then you hear the Chris Sims report a few days back that the Niners were Tom's first choice and the Niners are the ones who said no to him. Then that debunks that whole, I want to be on the East Coast close to family stuff. So then I threw that report out that LA's out of the mix because of that.
I mean, Dave, this is generous of you. Is it possible that Willie didn't know anything? I mean, that's the alternative, right? I mean, I love Willie, but it could be that Tom did not share that with Willie and that Willie just didn't know what was happening any more than anyone else did. And so the misdirection he was throwing out was speculation just like everybody else. So please don't tell Willie I said that.
Guess what? This is being recorded. And like the rest of us, I think Willie has nothing but time to burn. And I'm sure he's listening to the DDFP. And then when we're freed from our respective holes, you'll have your come to Jesus moment or come to Willie moment. first of all, I don't know that it's not relevant at all, but for at this point, since he's going to the Buccaneers, but the Niners, what a mistake. I don't if that in fact is a true report that the Niners are like, we're better off with Jimmy G at this point than we are Tom Brady.
Now I think that's accurate. I am still of the belief that they wanted him. And I think that Tom just kind of kept it under wraps that he wasn't interested. And I guess I'll just get into it here. Like, my understanding from what I've kind of gathered and kind of shaken the bushes is that the Chargers, as late as Monday, thought they had him. That they had been working on this for that parameters. I knew they were going to make a big swing, that they were going to offer him a lot and do everything they could, that this was from ownership, from the top down, that they wanted Tom Brady. And from what I can gather, and I'm still trying to kind of make sure I get a few more people that are willing to kind of give me some details, but that they really thought this was going to happen. And the final obstacle is what you spoke of, and that you just couldn't kind of get everybody to sign off on the West Coast. And that, you know, his son Jack with, you know, from Megan, right? Isn't that her name? Megan Moynihan. And that was just too big of an obstacle, that he goes to all of his games. And that just the trip that apparently he would have to take back to the East Coast was just too prohibitive.
Wow.
And from the West Coast, even you're flying private, and they thought they were able to kind of figure that out and get that piece right. And ultimately, I think it was just too much to overcome. And like you said, that was something that Willie repeatedly alluded to. And I don't think that it was that his wife didn't like Los Angeles. I think it was just logistics. And ultimately, and I don't, you know, I think, you know, like our Mike Giardi reported, there weren't as many suitors for him as was being reported. I think, you know, I had heard from someone, I think it was Monday. It was Monday, that don't be surprised if it's the Dolphins. That they are the sleeper in all this, and that they're interested as well. But then come to find out, maybe there was never an offer from them. But I do believe there was an offer from the Chargers. I do believe he seriously considered it, to a point that they thought they were going to get this thing done.
You know what's funny? Money just froze again. He's finishing his thought, but while he does the Dolphins, what's fun about the Dolphins is, so they keep Fitzpatrick. If you took the name brands off, if you took the numbers off and you could blur your eyes a little bit, would Tom Brady and Ryan Fitzpatrick in a side-by-side QB competition, would Tom Brady definitely win that based on physical talent? Would if you were to eyeball them and, you know, not know their respective deeds in pro football? I wonder if Tom Brady, because that's the thing nobody's really talking about. Oh, I mean, a lot of the cynics, the fan cynics out there, the vapid skeptics of everything that happens. The big thing I said a couple of days ago with the Niners thing specifically, you know, leaning into those rumors about that the Niners turned them down. I said that's a big mistake. You know, if you can have Tom Brady for 1 year in 2020, he gives you a better chance of winning the Super Bowl than Jimmy G will. And people said, are you crazy? Brady stunk last year. And who cares? I mean, the long term would be awful for them. First of all, who cares about the long term in the NFL? I feel like you can, I mean, you don't have to be, you know, nihilistic about the future, but you also, you know, you play for now. And, you know, we had that conversation, the four of us, a week or so ago. But the idea that Tom Brady, I'm cynical about Drew Brees at this point, about how much exactly he has left. I still think he's good and everything else, but I think the situation has to be just so for him to get over. And I'm more intrigued by Phil Rivers and Tom Brady in their new spots, but I think it's because they've moved now. When I hear Drew Brees back with the Saints, I'm like, if I'm a Saints guy, I don't know, a fan, I don't know how excited I am about that. Maybe Teddy B would have been the better play for them. I mean, you know, politically, you know, local politics aside, if you let Drew Brees go, the city of New Orleans would go wild. He's a savior on some level to them. But I find, like, Tom Brady to a new place, like, well, Tom Brady's Tom Brady. This is a great get for you. But I wonder if Where do you come down, handsome, on the idea that Tom Brady is, in fact, 43 and what we saw last year, like you and I have laughed about a little bit, this idea, well, he makes everybody around him better. He didn't make a first-round receiver and Mohamed Sanu and Julian Edelman and so on that much better. Is he 43 and is Bruce Arians and the Tampa St. Pete area ready to see, like, oh, yeah, we went after an old guy?
Well, I think actually it might be a case of everyone around him making Tom Brady better. The weapons that he has in Tampa are so much better than those that he had with the Patriots last season, or certainly by the end of last season, where you could see him kind of visibly frustrated with trying to get young receivers on the same page as him, not having Gronk there to do what Gronk was able to do as an outlet for him in the past. Maybe Sony Michel not quite living up to the expectations he set in his first season. You look at the weapons he's going to have with the Bucs, with Mike Evans, with Chris Godwin, with potentially OJ Howard being able to come out and be a better player than he's been or shown through the first part of his career. With Bruce Arians, you know, obviously, you know, nothing wrong with Josh McDaniels or Bill Belichick, but with Bruce Arians having had success opening it up for quarterbacks, especially those at, you know, towards the tail end of their career, I feel like it might actually be a question of him being elevated by the people he's playing with, as opposed to what was expected of him before, which was, well, it's Tom Brady. We can send out anyone on the field with him. And again, on the offensive line as well, which the Bucs aren't great at. They certainly have some issues to fix at tackle, but the whole group, I think, is going to make him a better player and probably one that we're more used to seeing prior to last year.
Oh, I'm waiting to hear Trent Williams for a second.
Yeah.
Something like that. I mean, I won't be surprised if Eddie Spaghetti jumps in to let us know that something like that's happened. But, you know, there are so many directions I do want to hear about lifestyle stuff for each of you guys more than I do about NFL free agency. But I do want to hear about your thoughts on this, because here we are, handsome. We're 1 year delayed. We talked about, I bet you a finger last year, that you guys, on how many QBs would move. But now it is, in fact, here. The dominoes, the biggest of them all, has fallen now. And the guy who it feels like in the musical chairs or whatever, to mix gaming metaphors, dominoes and
they're all games chairs we could be playing in the next few days with our respective families.
I really don't know what I'm going to do with the little ones. They just keep asking, like, we have enough games to get them through. Like, we see like another 5 to 6 days and they're like, can we play Chutes and Ladders? It's like, when I have to play the 237th game of Chutes and Ladders, that's when I don't know what.
I played Guess Who so many times yesterday that I've had the same person, Margaret or whatever her name is, looking at me like three times. I love Guess Who as well. But there's only so many games of Guess Who before you get back and you're like, oh, I've got Max again. That's time to shut those things
down. We're
not
deep enough into it yet here, but yeah, we will need to do an update on best board games soon, because that's something everybody can relate to.
Yeah,
but I do think.
Oh, you're gonna find out. It's gonna be a life experiment. you're gonna certainly find out. It will not be an opinion piece that will be factual as to what the best board game is. We're really gonna find out. Here.
Control Group Monopoly, 200 games worth of it now. I wonder, though, with Jameis, what an indictment. If the video that – I don't know if you guys saw the JPP video reacting to the news of Tom Brady coming to Tampa, his joy, if that's not enough of an indictment and make Jameis feel sad about himself, like, hey, JPP, you don't have to be that happy that that I've been replaced. But that is a pretty striking – I mean, you can do the math on that. Like, well, I guess you really – didn't think I was very good. If the 43-year-old guy moving down here for a year is exciting.
Yeah. But I wonder, like, is that, and I think, you know, we recognize that football players that actually, you know, this is their job, they react differently to most situations. But I think if you're JPP and you have a chance to say, I played football with Tom Brady, you know what I mean? If you're you've never had that opportunity unless you were on the Patriots, and now something you never thought was possible in your career, you're going to be able to say, I played football with arguably the greatest player or the greatest quarterback to have ever played the game. I do think there's just maybe some in the moment reaction, like, holy crap, I'm going to be in a locker room, I'm going to be on a field. And I'm going to be able to tell people.
It's funny, first of all, I loved your, I caught you on Petros and Money the other day. Still the finest radio show in all the land. Check it out.
Every day.
Oh, you are doing it? You're sticking with it? Good for you guys. I heard, I mean, that was absolutely true. Yeah. As you get to live the dream calling pro football games for a living is pretty cool stuff. But I heard you talking about exactly that, how cool it would be to call a Tom Brady game. That's my QB, and to bump into him in the facility and kibitz with him and all that stuff. Yeah, I get that. By the way, Reggie Wayne is the only guy who was ever honest with us about that. When I've asked players, opposing players, like, do you ever take a second to look across the field and be like, oh my God, there's Tom Brady, the best of all time. They're like, nope, never think about that. Reggie Wayne, like, oh, sure. Yeah, of course I did that. Yeah, it's cool. Like, yeah, it was made me nervous to be playing against the Patriots. But so now Jameis is out on the market, I guess. I guess there's some chance.
He's an interesting one to me, and maybe it's because I love college football, and I just remember that Florida State team, you know, and it's like, man, how does someone not want to take a swing at that? I mean, I know he threw the 30 picks, and he's always had turnover issues, but my God, the guy passed for 5,000 freaking yards, and he still throws a beautiful ball. But again, I think it's probably just my bias, you know, of watching those Florida State teams and being like, holy crap, this guy is one of the best quarterbacks we've seen in college football.
I agree with you. And I was thinking, and my math is exactly the same as yours. That's exactly right. I thought, no way. Not the guy who got Florida State over with the last minute touchdown pass, and the guy who was the first overall pick, and the guy who has had some legitimate moments in the NFL. But if, like I say, the JPP thing on a personal level, on a human level, you'd be like, oh, come on, JPP. But the bigger indictment is that the QB whisperer, as we always talk about, Andy Reid and Bruce Arians are the legit QB whisperers, and everybody else is a fraud in that regard. If Bruce Arians is like, yeah, get me, we don't want to do a long term with this guy. We get the 43-year-old guy. Then right. I know egos are big among offensive coordinators in the NFL, but aren't they going to be like, well, Bruce Arians didn't want to keep him, why are we going to bring Jameis in? But I really don't know where the natural spot is for him. Save the interesting thing is Handsome Hank's team. I don't think they would do it, but I think the Dolphins.
No, I don't think it's that.
But you get
I don't
a
think
state
it's that
hero.
There's a recently vacated spot in that same division that, you know, they're probably going to want to put competition there. I could easily see him go to New England, and be one of the quarterbacks that's shooting for that role with a rookie, with Jarrett Stidham, maybe with another quarterback as well, and just let them battle it out. There isn't an obvious solution for the Patriots, given where they pick in the first round.
All right, let's get to that, because I don't want to run out of time, but I do want to talk about a bunch of other stuff. And maybe we'll get to it today, and maybe we won't.
Just real quick before you do that, how about this? Like, I was thinking about it. Who would you rather have, Cam or Jameis?
Oh, Cam. 100%.
Really? I mean, not 100%.
Hall of Famer.
Cam hasn't been healthy.
I mean, I know, but I watched
months.
Him 2 years ago. Yeah, he has not been able to throw a football for
well,
2 years.
Well, just like all those kids, I don't want to draw comparisons between me and the frat dudes out on the beaches of Florida right now. But just as I always say, I think our society lean, and I count myself among these, like, we're a little cavalier about, like, yeah, the scientists will fix everything. They'll figure everything out. I am a kind of that way about football players these days. I am kind of like Peyton Manning. He can't play anymore. He's got a bad neck. Like, doctors, they'll fix that. And then Peyton, you know, goes on to have a few brilliant seasons with Denver. I'm kind of thinking the same thing's going to happen with Cam. A year or two from now, we'll be like, remember when people were like, Cam's never going to play football again? Yeah, that was silly. Now he's a superstar again.
See, I think he's different. You know, to me, Cam's different. I mean, he has really taken a beating over the course of his, and we have really seen just his pass. He's never been a great passer ever in his career, save his rookie year, right? When he had that monster game to start his career, the 500-yard passing game against the Cardinals. I think we all remember it. And I think that's what it was, as I just say. I think we all remember it. But since then, the guy hasn't thrown over 4,000 yards. You know, he doesn't throw a ton of touchdowns. And we just kind of saw his the last, you know, season prior to this last one, when you missed the whole year, man, it looked bad. And it looked like it was unraveling. And now you take that athleticism away from him, you know, that made him that special player. I'm not like, I think I would be more comfortable doing a 1 year prove it deal with Jameis than I would with Cam.
So do you, well, are either one, either of those in play with your employer?
I don't know. I really don't. I think, you know, I do think they were being honest when they said we're comfortable with Tyrod, especially if they draft, you know, if at six, or if they move up to get Tua, or if they like Jordan Love or Justin Herbert or something. I think the Tyrod thing makes sense because you're going to get to the young guys.
The Jordan Love one is later. But I do, again, if they were interested in Tom, then that means that they were interested in PR. And then that means that they couldn't be that excited about opening a new stadium with Tyrod Taylor. Poor Tyrod Taylor, by the way. But this is the way we keep talking about him now, a couple of situations. But I would think, maybe Jameis to bridge the gap or something.
Well, I
guess
think just in terms of like, hey, let's see if we get him on the cheap. And maybe, you know, the guy's 25. He's 25. Go back to your board. How did you have him rated when he came out? Is there enough there that, you know, like what Mike Mayock and John Gruden did with Mariota, right? You know, Mayock had him as his number one quarterback. Gruden had always sung his praises. And they were like, whatever, we can get this guy on a 1 year deal. We're not sold on our quarterback. And let's see if we strike gold. You know, if we basically what the Titans did with Tannehill, if we can do with Mariota, I would feel the same way about doing it with Jameis. Again, more so than I would with Cam. I think at 30, with all the injuries, with what we've seen the last two seasons, if I'm the Bears, would I rather have Cam push Mitch or Jameis? I think I'd rather have Jameis.
I think he's the right guy for the Bears because in keeping Mitch, what you kind of as a GM and coach who drafted him, you still want him to win that job. So you don't want someone that's going to be, I think Cam is too alpha for that situation. Jameis has already lived in a world with Ryan Fitzpatrick a year ago that, you know, he was kind of in a job share position, especially at the start of that season when he was unavailable for the Bucs. So I think he knows how to handle it. I don't think Cam is willing to go in and be like, I'm battling it with a guy called Mitch Trubisky. This is not, that just doesn't feel like it's going to be his thing. Whereas for the Chargers though, I could definitely see, I'm not convinced that there's actually a market for Cam in a trade given his contract and everything else. I wouldn't be surprised if the Panthers just, you know, a couple of weeks from now when they realize that, flat out release Cam and just say, right, we're moving on. That's probably the moment the Chargers then could say, all right, fine, we will do a 1 year deal to see how healthy you are. It maybe does the PR thing for us, get some butts in seats, etc. And then, you know, pretty soon into that experience, you're going to find out, okay, is Cam healthy to any extent or not?
Well, obviously, it's not going to go this way with our guy, with David Carr's brother, Derek, there is going to get to stick around, it would seem, for another year and go toe-to-toe with Marcus and maybe Mariota, ironically. And this is ironic that since he got replaced by Ryan Tannehill, that if he went to Las Vegas and ended up being the savior for the 2020 Raiders, that's irony. That would be ironic. That would be fun. What would be fun though is if Derek weren't there, and then Gruden said like, "Hey, also get Jameis here, and now let's have the two guys who went 1 and 2 in the draft compete for the starting gig for us." That would be fun. No, that wouldn't be ironic. It would just be fun to sit back and
be a lot of fun. By the way, I think Mariota wins that job. I think you will see they'll sell it as he's coming in to be his backup. And then I think you will see training camp roll around. And much like we saw in Tennessee and a team that was not sold on their starter, all of a sudden you're hearing, oh, right, Ryan Tannehill's getting 50% of the snaps in camp. That's kind of weird. I think you're going to see exact same thing.
The comp to me is, after this many years of watching Mariota, you know who he is? He is exactly Rich Gannon. He, all the skills, all the attributes, the demeanor and otherwise. I mean, I don't know about respective intellects.
Just
respective intellects. But they play, like if you blur your eyes, that that does make all the sense in the world with what John Gruden's done over the years. Again, though, like Jameis, if Bruce Arians is not comfortable with you as his quarterback, that I can't imagine a bigger indictment to send out to the rest of pro football. Like, yeah, Bruce felt like there was something else out there. What kind of ego would you have to have? Like, yeah, Bruce is wrong. I'll show you with Jameis here. I don't know what's going to end up being with famous Jameis.
I don't know. I think just kind of quickly to the thing that I'm most interested in with Mariota. Well, there's two things. One, we talked to Lincoln Kennedy yesterday, who of course, longtime offensive lineman, you know, Pro Bowler, University of Washington, dominant All American, that guy. So he knows what he's talking about. And he brought up a real interesting point about Derek. And remember, he's the analyst for the Raider broadcast. He is the guy that reps the team. And he's just always been a straight shooter. One of the reasons he is a great person to talk to about these things. He says, look, here's the problem with Derek. He's like, if I'm on the offensive line and I'm busting my tail and I'm holding my blocks and this guy is rolling to his right and he keeps dirt balling it and he keeps throwing the ball away, I'm getting pissed and I'm pissed about it. And I'm tired of giving it that extra oomph because he's always looked, basically the way Gruden's offense is set up is that safety is always there, but you're supposed to use it as a last resort and wait for those routes to develop downfield. And he said, Derek just always goes to that check down first. And when that's not there, he throws the ball away. And this great offensive line, he says, I think gets frustrated with that because the stats are there, the completion percentage, the third downs, all that stuff is there, but they don't score points. So I don't care about your 73% or your however many yards. If you're averaging 18 points per game or whatever it is, it just doesn't matter. You know, that's you can't win football games that way. And that's why I think Mariota, with A, his ability to run, and B, that strong arm where you can really push it downfield, to me, it's just a much better match. And I think we'll ultimately shine through. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, by the end of the first quarter of the season.
Maybe they should have waited for Jameis then. Because I'd say he'd be an even better match for that system than Mariota would have been.
Yeah. But that may speak to Dave's point about, you know, if Bruce couldn't make it work.
To think about all the divisions. But then again, and as these things are still shaken out here, we don't know if even if it is Tyrod Taylor, but if it's Jordan Love, like we talked about money before you went to the combine about how he was going to emerge. And then you think about so Tom Brady's Buccaneers now drop in there with another future Hall of Famer, Drew Brees. And anyway, those are conversations we'll have later to the main event. What do you think happens, first of all? And I'll start with you, Handsome Hank, on this one. Who cares about 2 years from now? People keep doing the two-year window. 2020 is all that matters. Things will change radically by a year from now. Maybe there will be football games. Maybe there won't be in 2020. Shame the devil to even say that out loud. Mm-hmm. But at this time, 1 year from now, who looks better, Tom Brady's Buccaneers, Tom Brady, the football player, or Bill Belichick's Patriots? Who wins the trade, in other words, or the move, the divorce?
I mean, it's hard to – I mean, as you ask right now, obviously we don't know who's going to be playing the most important position for the Patriots, so it's really difficult to say. But, you know, based on –
I know, but you're betting, on Belichick. You're not betting on whoever that quarterback is. You're talking replacement level guy. That's kind of the point. And maybe they will make a big splash and get Cam or something like that. But I think you can assume it's going to be somebody more Andy Dalton or Nick Foles.
It's in that case, it's hard not to say that the Buccaneers will be in a better place. I think that, you know, they're clearly being built to do this right now. And I agree with you. I think they're going to make more of a splash over the next few weeks, whether it's for Trent Williams or going up and getting some other weapons for Brady in the draft. I think a year from now, we'll look at this and say the Bucs in the short term did the right thing.
Eddie Spaghetti.
I think the Bucs are going to be a borderline.
Listen to that microphone.
Guys, I'm going to go into this building and kill everyone.
If you have to go get Charlie in the rice paddy, you can do that. If you have to. Just let us know if you're going to do that, please.
Look, gaming comes in handy. It's for audio podcasting or video podcasting when we're doing remotely. I Bucks are in a good position because of the. Are we gonna keep joking? I'm ready to talk football.
Couple clicks going, north of here.
I can be entertained. You'll be entertained by your gamer headset.
I think it's an Astro A10. You guys can pick it up in the store. It's good. You know, works for PC. Works for PlayStation.
Oh, new segment. So. Eddie Spaghetti doing endorsements that the product didn't ask
there
for.
There you go.
Hey, look, we don't know what we're
like,
doing.
Hey, can Eddie Spaghetti please not mention our product on the air? Like, no,
we don't want to be associated with
it. Yeah, we don't want there. By the
we
way,
don't, yeah, we don't.
I just say this very quickly to interrupt you, Spaghetti. I did delight in the fact that Scott Hansen reported that Brady had dinner with Derek Jeter, the owner of the Tampa Bay Lightning, and Bill Gates.
Bill Gates.
I love the idea of like.
Yeah, so it was Gates, owner of the Lightning, Derek Jeter.
If I have a big life decision, I'm getting the three of you together with me, and we're going to powwow over dinner and settle all hash. I like the Tom Brady caller.
Yeah.
These billionaires, do you think the billionaires have like a thing of like, I know we're in Florida, but some of us know this guy Donald, and he's big in Florida, and he'd love to be here. Don't tell him we're getting together. Like, I'm on a plane down right now. Like, no, stay there. You got things to deal with. But anyway, I love that that's his group who he powwows with to figure this all out.
Paid for dinner.
That's a great
question. I think they do credit card roulette. I think they just put all four in a hat. They shake it up, and somebody pulls it out. Right? They like to do that, like the rest of us.
Handsome, I'm doing it too. Stop touching your face. You're not supposed to be doing
I can't
that.
Stop touching my face.
Mate, we're all going to have to get...
This will be an opportunity for me to grow a beard, just because I've always wanted to do that, but I haven't had the chance. But growing a beard, you have to touch your face. I can't stop touching my face.
I have to have a beard to cover up what's underneath, handsome. Don't do that to yourself. You're handsome, hang for a reason. You know?
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm excited about how this is going.
Anyway, I interrupted you, Eddie Spaghetti. As I see your handlebar in the way, maybe that would be the deterrent. They should distribute, instead of those face masks for everybody, they should just distribute football helmets to everybody. Because when you go for your hat,
not a bad idea.
Go ahead, Spaghetti, your thoughts. I interrupted you.
More some of the Brady talking. Yeah, I think that with the NFC South in this weird state where you kind of alluded to it like a month or two ago, but the Saints, do you trust them to do the same old thing with Drew Brees? So who knows about them? The Falcons obviously were a big disappointment last year, and the Panthers, I guess, are a team that wants to lay down for a high pick next year to get Trevor Lawrence or whoever the quarterback's going to go number one overall next year is. So I guess in a sense, the Bucs are in a good spot to be the division's best team for the next year or two, depending on how long Tom Brady is there. So for that alone, and if the Patriots are going to get a league average guy like Dalton, I would say the Bucs are probably in a better position right now for at least the next two seasons.
It is interesting that it really does seem to boil down to, along with, like you say, that he wants to be on the East Coast, and so therefore closer to his oldest son, and he's building the TB12 brand, and he wants to do production and all that kind of stuff, Brady. But I guess the factor that he, you know, we talked about, does he really want to go to the AFC West and be in a division with Patrick Mahomes and the Raiders, who seem to be getting better, and the Broncos, who seem to be getting better? The Buccaneers, I guess, with Arians, I think that we are ignoring everything that Bill Belichick has done for 20 years. And I think that the Patriots, like I keep pointing out, they went 12-4 and just about 13-3. And I think that the thing with Tom Brady more than anything else seems to have come out of this is he really does want to play till he's 45. That's the goal, is he wants to make some point around fitness and TB12 and all that. And I think that the Patriots indicated somewhere like, yeah, we're not going to keep playing you until you're fine. My sense of this is, from reading the tea leaves and everything, is that Belichick at some point said, like, I'm not guaranteeing you that you have the quarterback gig until you're 45, if that's really your goal. And Brady said, I need to go somewhere that will guarantee that I get to be that guy. And I do think Belichick, Patriots fans think I'm tweaking them or trying to diminish their hero, Brady. But I do think that, as everybody anoints the Buffalo Bills 2020 AFC East champs, and I would be inclined to think that that's the way it goes, I think what's really going to happen is that the Patriots are going to be good. They're not. Do you really think that Andy Dalton or Nick Foles is like, oh, they're 9-7 now? Yeah, they're just not. They're okay, but they're yeah, they just can't. They can't do it without TV anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I guess my big issue is, you know, you look at kind of the Patriots, right? And they were in these tight games with the Bills last year, and they lost to the Dolphins in week 17, and they lost a tight game to the Titans in the first round of the playoffs. The record was good, but remember, there were a lot of tight games in that 12-4 season. One, two, you know, Kyle Van Noy is gone. Jamie right. Collins
Danny
is gone.
Shelton's gone.
You know, I know they kept Tooney. Danny Shelton is now gone. I mean, they're losing some guys.
Yeah. Brady's the headliner, but
look, if you ask me, who do I want to bet on? If I'm betting, you want me to bet on either Bill Belichick or Tom Brady? I'm going to bet on Belichick. I am, because he did it with Matt Castle. He did it with Jacoby Brissett. I do believe that he is a superior coach to anyone else that is on the opposite sideline from him. And if all things being equal, he is going to come out ahead. But at the same time, it's not just Brady. You know, there's some other things he's got to figure out, and they've done an okay job of drafting, not a great job of drafting. I know Juwan Bentley will be back. They feel really good about him. The offensive line is pretty good with Wynn and Tooney. So you have some time, but they've done a horrible job with receivers. Don't know what the plan is at tight end. You know, I think there's some serious issues that go beyond Brady in a division where the Dolphins are spending money and are on the come, right? The Bills, I'm a big believer in Sam Darnold and the Jets, you know, and what they were able to do toward the back end of that season. So I think it's, you know, I think both of them are going to have trouble is actually what I'm getting at. I do think the Saints are a juggernaut. I'm not saying that Drew Brees is Pat Mahomes, but I think Sean Payton is another one of those coaches, you know, that pretty darn good. And they're good on both sides of the ball. You know, the Falcons closed really strong when they got healthy. So really the only pushover in that division is the Panthers. And don't forget, you know, I know Eddie said, it looks like the Panthers are in tank mode. Well, they just handed $60 million to Teddy Bridgewater, and Matt Rhule is not the kind of guy that's going to tank. I mean, he took a 1-11 Baylor team that was supposed to take 5 years to turn around. And in 2 years, he was a combined 6 points in losses to Oklahoma, one of those in overtime in the Big 12 championship. Mm-hmm. From being in the 14 playoff, he is a really, really good coach.
It's interesting because we got to wrap up. Handsome's got to go. I want to, Handsome, you, it's funny because I guess in these fanciful, to fanciful thoughts among football fans, and I'm asking, so I was about to ask you, are the Buccaneers legitimate Super Bowl contenders? But to Money's point, I think it is. So, like when we talked to Aqib Talib a week ago, and he did tell us he knew. He said, like, it's over there. Tom does not want to go back there. He knew something. To go way back to where we started, if Aqib Talib knew, I think Willie knew too. But anyway, that there was a divorce pending there. But as we contemplate the, instead of being glass half full, you know, the John Lennon and Paul McCartney effect of, yeah, they both were fine afterwards, but neither achieved the heights of the Beatles once they split. Who's more likely to miss the playoffs then? Let's go more negative. Do the Patriots miss? Do the Bucks, or do they both?
Remember, you get the extra wild card this year.
There's the extra wild card. So I think both teams probably wind up making the playoffs, but I think they're in that 6-7 range, right, as opposed to, you know, suddenly the Bucks are a number one seed, or the Patriots continue to be the dominant
team. I'll tell
team
you, man, I get
by
it,
such
get
a long way in the AFC.
Well, you got to go through the three wild cards, right? Are they better than the Packers and Vikings? I would say no. So there's one wild card, right? Then you get into, are they better than the Seahawks and the 49ers,
Now
that's two wild cards. And then you got to ask, are they better than the Cowboys and or the Eagles, right? So I think, and that's maybe where you find, that's where that third wild card comes into play, right? Because if there were still two wild cards, I'd say, no, they're not getting into
the
playoffs.
I always talk about the vapid cynics, and I've watched the 20 years of Tom Brady. But at this point, I'm not as thoroughly convinced. As soon as it happened, people started to declare, like, hey, they're going for it, man. The Bucks are making a – hey, do you know the Super Bowl is in Tampa? And that's probably what – like, you think those Buccaneers are going to go to the Super Bowl this year? Like, that seems like – that seems awfully optimistic with a 43-year-old QB. Right. And again, like I asked you about Ryan Fitzpatrick, if you really blur your eyes and you put Tom Brady against, let's say, Jameis Winston in a QB competition in August of 2020, would Tom Brady definitely win that? We're just the force of his will and work ethic and all that kind of hard to assess kind of stuff. Is that really is going to get the Buccaneers over the hump in the division, let alone in the NFC? I think people are getting a little bit, glass half full about it. I think the stronger likelihood, and I'm with you on Sam Darnold and what the Jets are building there, and the Dolphins are interesting, and I think the Bills are a legit player in the AFC this year. But I'm betting on Belichick if I have to. I'm betting on them to be a double digit.
Well, especially if you go to those wild cards, like what we just, the exercise we just did in the NFC. Do it with the AFC. It's like, yeah, I could totally see them making it. Do you feel good about a second team in the AFC West? Do you feel, do you feel like the Steelers can return to glory and be that second team in the AFC North? Or do you still have questions about what Ben looks like, post-injury? Is he actually going to be healed? Then you get to the South and it's like, okay, I feel good about the Colts. They signed one of the best defensive linemen to help anchor that defense in Buckner. And then you get Phillip Rivers behind that offensive line. I feel good about that, but seems like the Texans are in turmoil a little bit. Obviously, the Jags are out of it. And I don't know what the Titans look like on a full season after a guy carried the ball 400 times. So it just seems like that path is a lot easier for Belichick if you're talking about that third wild card than it is.
Man,
But it's crazy that we're talking about the third wild card. Like that's now the bar for the Patriots. We're not talking about them romping their way through the season. And
do you think they're better than the Bills? Like, I think that's the question, right? Do you think they're better than the Bills?
Yeah. No, I get. I get why we are.
It's very NHL
for
many.
I don't know.
I will say, because we haven't talked about it since the news of the extra playoff team. If you have not heard the show before, then this may come as more of a surprise. I can't stand it. The NFL, pro football, is not the equivalent of the NBA. The NBA, you do not just come out of nowhere one season. You do not just, you're not some bum team, and then the next year. And it's weird. It's counterintuitive because basketball, by its nature, you plug one guy into the lineup, you can change your fortunes entirely. And yet in the NBA, you have to build. Like, you go from out of the playoffs to in it, then you get some experience, then you make a run, then maybe you get over the hump finally. In the NFL, your fortune can just change overnight. So suddenly you're a bad team. Oh, now we're in the Super Bowl the following year. It's too coin flippy. The difference is narrower between pretty good and pretty bad in the NFL versus in the NBA. You throw an extra team into the mix, I think it's just going to spoil things, even though nobody said throughout more over the last 3 or 4 months, if you get one of those top two seeds, you get to the Super Bowl with a ridiculous likelihood in pro football over the last decade. Still, every game is a coin flip in pro football, it feels like, or close to it. And so you throw an extra team into the mix. I think it's gonna spoil some things. I think you're gonna see 9-7 junk getting to Super Bowls, and I'm against it. Is my thought on that. You're excited about it though? You like the idea of just one bye, one team getting a bye?
I do. I think that's such a big advantage that that should be your reward for winning the regular season. It is hard. Football is a hard game. And we all know, we've all seen players and what they look like coming off the field and what that week of recovery looks like going into, the next Sunday. And I think if, in fact, you get the best, I mean, think about the Chiefs, right? They won the Super Bowl. They were going to be playing on wild card weekend, and the Patriots happened to slip up against the Dolphins, and that greatly exponentially. So it's like, I think it should be reserved for the number team. I think the Ravens should have been the only team that had that because they won the regular season.
That's interesting, is that they won the regular season. I think if you win your division,
right?
I think it's, I am of the mind that it should be old school Big Ten, Bo Schembechler, Woody Hayes kind of mentality of like the goal every year is to win the conference. That's what you want to do. You want to win your division, and there should be a carrot for doing that, and that is the bye. And I know every once in a while you get an 8-8 team winning some bum division, and
that's why it doesn't work for me.
But the carrot's the home field advantage. The carrot is that first weekend.
If you were the Big Ten and you only play the Big Ten, say 2 to 3 games, you know, they've added that third game. Everybody pretty much plays the same people. But you know what I mean? Like with the last place schedule versus a first place schedule, what was the random rotation that we were on this year? Did we play the AFC North or did we play the AFC South? You know what I mean? And how that all balances out. To me, I think it's just one of you guys is going to get it. And maybe that's just the soccer fan in me and thinking about how, you know, the EPL champion is just crowned over who wins the regular season and you're the champ. And that's that. And that's kind of your reward for that long period of time. And to me, I do think there should only be one of those. Team should get that decided advantage. And I think everybody, to me, it just doesn't make sense that second place gets the same thing as first place. And it is such a decided advantage. All right,
we'll wrap it up here quickly. Are the Rams the fourth place team in their division in 2020? They're in trouble. They lose Brock.
Whew, that's a good one.
They might
I don't know how they got everybody. I'd love to hear about that money without exposing anything that is told to you or in small print in your contract with your pro football team and your relationship there. But it is remarkable. The Rams really did get everybody who we talked to, who's associated in any way with the organization. Everybody towed that Todd Gurley line, but now, we're trying to trade him. Yeah, but everyone's, no, Todd's fine. What are you talking about? Todd Gurley is fine. What do you mean? Everybody we talked to towed that line, and they had the same line, too. I'm fascinated. How does that – hey, if you're associated with this organization, you do not let on the Todd Gurley. We made a bad deal with Todd Gurley here.
Yeah, I think that's – you know, it's clear that Les is – while he was celebrated there for a second, you know, he's made some bad deals. And that's certainly the headliner of them all. Although I think the Goff deal might end up being worse.
Oh, yeah.
When it's all said and done, just the amount of money given to him. And look, they've got three guys or four guys that are taking up over half of their contract, over half of their cap. That's crazy. I mean, it's just – you can't – let alone a running back that takes up that – percentage of the cap. So I'd say Aaron Donald is such a dominant force and such a game wrecker. I think I might still have them as the third place team. I think it's a real toss up between them and Arizona.
Really? You know, so you're not buying the hype around that offense?
I do. Yeah. I still think there's some of the issues with the air raid. And that when you get in the red zone, it's still tough to score and Kingsbury's still trying to figure that out. I do think Kyler Murray is a supreme talent. Love what Kenyon Drake added to them. And obviously getting, you know, what's many believe is the best receiver in the league is going to help that offense out. But I just want to see it. You know, Aaron Donald's just that good. He's the best defensive player in the league. And it's hard for me to say that that's a last place team with him out there.
Spaghetti, ask your friends Fabiano and company, the fantasy gurus. I mean, Kyler Murray's a first round pick. And I'm not one to say draft a QB, but Kyler Murray should light it up. The stars are aligned in the sense that it should be like, hey, Sissy, come here. Say hello to everybody. Look at everybody on the computer.
Well, hello.
Hi, Mrs.
Good morning.
Yuck.
Okay. Hi.
You're more of a visual than an audio. But yeah, I think that it'll be like Mahomes in the sense that that they won't have a defense in 2020. And he's got all the weapons in the world. He's going to light it up, right? And isn't he going to put up just gargantuan statistics in 2020?
Started to last year. He didn't run as much as a lot of people thought he was going to. So maybe there's a little bit more of that this year.
All right, we'll wrap it up. I'm sorry, I've gone way too long. I do the next. Go ahead, Anthony.
One question, though. This is really for everyone, but especially for Eddie. Did we go too far with our intervention for Eddie to
I was, what we had yesterday was my first bad day because it was my holiday. I had a little corned beef and baked potato with cheddar on it.
Cheddar.
Yeah, that was my
But I mean, the advantage of you know, you're not within 5 miles.
I like
miles
that. I like that Eddie Spaghetti. I like that Eddie Spaghetti. Like, I had to do it. I love the Irish. I got to eat my traditional corned beef and my potato, and of course, I need my cheddar on it.
I'll get crushed for this one. I was craving I don't really love corned beef. I actually got it yesterday as a Reuben sandwich from like Canner's Deli, which is probably not the way to celebrate the holiday, but whatever. I wanted Irish soda bread terribly because I do love that. And I live in an area that weirdly has two Ralphs. And for those who don't know, Ralphs is a grocery store, but within 2 minutes of each other. And I went to my usual one. They didn't have any Irish soda bread, and it was pouring out the other day here. And I'm sure all you guys saw, and I was, you know, you're supposed to stay inside, quarantine, this and that. And I was just like, man, I really, really want that Irish soda bread for the holiday. So I hopped back in my car after I dropped the groceries off and went to the other Ralph's, and they had one last loaf, and I got it. Smile. So when you're supposed to avoid the public, I'm back out there to get in my my Irish soda bread. So probably a bad decision.
Someday
on my part.
They'll make it.
And while you were out, did you grab coffee, dessert or anything else? Coffee, just since you're in the car,
cold brew, and I got wraps because I've been making peanut butter and jelly on whole wheat tortilla wraps. That's been my go-to snack.
I love in this time of apocalypse that it sounds like the makings of a feature film. Eddie Spaghetti, going up against all the dangers out there to find his soda bread. Now that'll be a strong third act when he finds his soda bread, the last one on the rack. I also think, by the way, I do think it's not just going to be spaghetti. I think this is going to be our fattest. As opposed to other past large scale human tragedies. I think when people emerge, I think a half century from now, when people are our grandchildren and great grandchildren see us, we will not emerge thin and drawn. Instead, we're gonna be morbidly obese as we emerge from our respective holes. You know,
isn't that bears? We're just bears. We're loading up on calories and hibernating in our bodies to feed off our fat.
Next time we do this, we also have to figure out. I really do think that this situation is going to shine a light on certain industries, certain human beings who it's like, oh yeah. You know what I learned from that? You're inessential, and not just inessential. I mean, this talking about sports for a living is inessential by definition. But I think it's like, not only is it inessential, nobody missed it at all. And I think legitimately, I think the idea of gigantic soundstage produced television programming, people are going to be like, oh yeah, we don't need that. Why are we doing that? I legitimately think that's something that, is coming down the pike. Like, oh yeah, we can do what we're doing right now. Does the audience really, if you just put
pictures? Yeah, judging by Eddie's microphone, we clearly you don't need professional equipment.
Yeah, Eddie's microphone and money freezing. Yeah.
Last question, man, and then the last thing for today seconds.
I think both of those things we may have proved that we're not quite there yet.
Just in raw numbers, who gains the most weight out of the four of us?
I mean, I'm wearing Under Armour. I'm going to go for a jog soon. I'm taking care of business.
You're going Hank puts on the pounds?
No.
Oh, you're pointing at me?
No, I'm pointing at Spaghetti.
Oh, it's
Wait,
Spaghetti.
Who are you? You're pointing.
Yeah.
There you go. Now you're pointing at me.
You're
pointing at me.
You're pointing through me, and I'm pointing to Spaghetti.
Now you're pointing at me.
I don't know. All right, so we'll ask right, Spaghetti to gain
each
the
other
weight.
In a different order, but yeah, it's definitely
it's not a bad guess.
I mean, bet a finger on it. Whoever gains the most weight loses the finger.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay.
I'll go get my scale. Do you guys have a scale?
Let's have a weigh in. Okay. Let's hold have on. A weigh in now, and then I've got some scales. Hold on. Okay. Wait. Empty so far. Mike, right, so far. I just wanted to prove I had it.
Come on, okay. Turn on.
Hold on, I need a hard floor.
It won't work in here. I just stood
right,
on it.
There's mine.
I'm 189. Oh, darn it! I can't get it to work in here.
225.3.
Here we go. Ready?
What have you got, man?
There it is. Can you see it? 165.3.
You're 165 pounds. Wow.
Yeah.
Impressive. That's That's 25, 30 pounds more than I would have given you. I, as of last night, was 189 wow, well done, point something or other. So I know that I can't get it to work on the on the carpet here. Spaghetti.
There you go.
I'll go. Let me go run. Oh, I was waiting for you guys. I didn't want dead air. Spaghetti. I'll run to go get it.
Spaghetti,
now.
Dead air. Spaghetti is
225.
Mine does 225. Right.
Spaghetti. Is that heavy for you, Hank? Is that light for you? Is that average?
That's
for
my
you?
Playing weight.
That's where you live. Okay.
Huh?
That's my playing.
You're all
I'm
mad.
Actually a little heavy. That's where I
always.
That's about 7-8 pounds heavy for me. Yeah. I'm normally about 158.
Wow. Now yeah. that he's not on the mic for real, Spaghetti is getting fat guy voice. Like that's the real logical goal.
Oh, yeah.
I'll go.
But right. also because he was wearing the headset, there was a lot of heavy breathing as well.
The best part of the headset, by the way, is that
I don't know. Maybe that could be the virus kicking terrible. In. That might be the virus.
That's my favorite part.
I'll go.
All those people that have been gaming with him.
Quality.
Or soda bread.
Well, I made eye contact from across the grocery store aisle with that last loaf of soda bread. I don't think I've ever been so happy at all. My
baked
life.
Potato with cheddar.
Here he comes.
There he is.
Eddie definitely fought someone for that soda bread.
How you been?
Fought someone when it was
not the weight I was hi, hoping Eddie. For. I haven't weighed. I'm at 235.
What's the number? Eddie, come on, what's the number?
Oh, I'm not ultra strong. I thought I was closer to 230, but it's the extra 5. It's probably because I'm wearing sweatpants, heavy sweatpants.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, those
I haven't got the jog in today.
A
lot of water weight.
Yeah. A lot of water weight.
Of course it's all, yeah.
Soda. A lot of soda weight.
Yeah.
What a weight.
That's exactly that it. I've been soaking it up. Hank is very tall and he's a thin guy. I'm a little bit shorter.
I don't know what you're trying to tell us right now, Eddie.
Ton of muscle mass, bad diet lately.
There you go. So, soda bread. Water, it's 10 pounds of soda bread.
All right, let's end it there. Spaghetti. Spaghetti dude, like, why do people been doing that now? It's people who fancy themselves as fitness people. They constantly have a bottle of water with them, but they drink it out of the side of their mouth. It's very
because of the mic.
Only because of the mic.
Yeah. That really good sound in mic. You don't want to mess that up.
I think they
think they're a biker. They grab their bottle of water in the side like the bikers do. All right, I see Dan Hanzus is texting some snark our way, handsome. So that'll be fun. And all right, with that done, this is our thus ends. Yes. Our podcast here, and since we have nothing better to do, let's take a break and we'll do it again in 45 minutes or something like that.
Okay. give Eddie a chance to eat some of that delicious soda bread and butter, some of that Irish uncultured butter. There you go. That's gonna serve you well through this, bud.
Matt Money Smith is broadcast heroically with Petros Papadakis. Make sure you check it out on iHeartRadio or otherwise. It'll help fill a few hours for you. Thank you, Matt Money Smith. Handsome Hank, thank you. Yep. Hope all well with your kin stateside as well as across the sea. Eddie Spaghetti, indeed. Go take a few runs. And
I'm going to.
235. Sweet Jesus. Maybe you can replace Jarrell Casey on that Tennessee front.
Ooh, there you go.
235. Right. See? Wow.
Look at that.
6'2", 235. Linebacker size. I'm good.
Guess, all right. We'll see where we're at in a week.
I just took soda bread and made lemonade. There you go. All right. We'll kibitz with you later on. Until then, thank you. And it's been a slice of heaven.